If you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, as we continue in our series, Questions and Answers. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. Paul writes, "But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry." And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word, and I thank you, Lord, that it's true. And I pray you just show us here what we are doing here at Fox River Church and what we do need to be doing, especially in these last days. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit and open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. A couple of months ago, I thought my wife Sue was starting to have some hearing problems. So I called the doctor in Naperville and I said, "I don't want to flat out ask her if she's having hearing problems because that'll make her mad." So the doctor said, "Well, just stand behind her at a distance and start asking her some questions. And if she doesn't answer, just move a little bit closer and a little bit closer until she does answer." So that night, Sue was in the kitchen cooking something at the stove. And I thought, well, this is a perfect time to test her hearing. So I was standing in the doorway and I said, "Sue, what are you cooking?" No answer. So I moved a little bit closer and I said, "Sue, what are you cooking?" And again, no answer. So I moved a little bit closer still. "Sue, what are you cooking?" Again, no answer. And I thought, man, her hearing is worse than I thought it was before. So then I went and stood right next to her, like right on top of her. And I asked her again, "Sue, what are you cooking?" And she said, for the fourth stupid time, I said, "Chicken." I thought there was something wrong with my wife. Turns out it was me. What was I doing? We think there's something wrong with the church. What if it's us? What are we doing? What are we doing here? What are we doing here at Fox River Church? The text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series for the new year called Questions and Answers, looking at all kinds of questions that God is asking Fox River so that we can be the kind of church that we need to be in these last days when it matters the most. So far in this series, we looked at the question, who are we at Fox River Church? And where are we at Fox River Church? And today we look at the question, what are we doing at Fox River Church? And to see that, we turn today to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. In this part of 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy while he's in prison in Rome, right before Paul gets executed. And in our text today, Paul begs Timothy to stay faithful by knowing what he's doing in ministry. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, if we want to be the kind of church that we need to be in the last days, we got to know what we're doing in ministry too. Our text this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, tells us three answers to that question, what are we doing at Fox River Church? And let's look and see what those three answers are. The first thing we see from this text, the first answer to that question, what are we doing at Fox River? We are watching out. And that's exactly what we see here in the first part of verse 5. Keep your head in all situations. We're watching out. Last May the 10th, outside of Los Angeles, California Highway Patrol charged a 25-year-old man with reckless driving because he was in the back seat of his Tesla 3 with nobody in the front seat. He turned on the self-driving feature and then crawled in the back seat and was taking a nap, going down the road. Because even Tesla says the self-driving feature has to be supervised. Talk about sleep at the wheel. There's nobody driving that car, people. But listen, there is somebody driving Fox River Church because we're not asleep at the wheel here. We're not flying by the seat of our pants. We're not making it up as we go along. Now, we're not perfect, but we're trying. We're keeping up watch, watching out. When I was at seminary, they gave me a really good rule. When you get to be a pastor and you get to a church, don't do anything stupid. But too many pastors are because they're not watching out. 2 weeks ago, pastor and author Philip Yancey admitted that he cheated on his wife for 8 years of their marriage. We used some of Philip Yancey's books in seminary. And now he's resigned from ministry. What was he doing? Just this past Wednesday, Pastor Rick Olmsted, Mega Vineyard Church, San Luis Obispo, California, had to resign from ministry because he got caught taking pictures of girls' butts outside of grocery stores. What was he doing? Here's a list of just some of all the mega church pastors that have had to resign lately because of sexual immorality. Robert Morris, Gateway Church. Tony Evans, Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. Steve Lawson, Trinity Bible Church of Dallas. John McKenzie, Ronnie Goins, Tony Camerata, Carl Lenz, Brian Houston. I could go on and on and on. And I hate to say it, folks, the people in the pews are just as bad. One out of every eight Christians now cheats on their spouse. One out of every four Christians is now doing something sexually inappropriate with another person in their church. They gave me another good rule at seminary to follow, and it applies to every guy in this room. Keep your hands off the women. Does everybody know here what's appropriate and what isn't? Does everybody know here what an appropriate hug is at Fox River? Have you ever seen a Fox River hug before? Okay, I need two volunteers. Ed, could you step out here too? I need you to stand about 2 feet apart, face each other. Okay, that's too far. And you just lean into each other till your shoulders meet. Just your shoulders. It's like that. Okay, and then just give a tap on the back. Okay, hold it right there. Everybody see this? See this? Nothing's touching. Nothing important, nothing that matters, nothing that's going to start the launch sequence. Watch out. Okay, you can sit down. Thank you. There's guys listening to this sermon right now, right here in this room. You've got barely legal porn on your phone. What are you doing? There's wives listening to this sermon right now. You've got a burner phone that your husband doesn't know about because you're texting a guy your husband doesn't know about. What are you doing? There's girls, guys in this church right now. You keep spending more and more time at your girlfriend's house when her parents aren't home. You're playing with the devil, and the devil plays for keeps. What are you doing? Girlfriend, you're up to 4 glasses of wine now every night just to take the edge off. What are you doing? Last Sunday, September the 28th, Legacy of Faith Church, Susquehanna, Pennsylvania. Pastor Philip Thornton pulled out an AR-15 and started pointing it at the people in his congregation. Trying to make a point during a sermon that you got to go against the devil with overwhelming force. Now, he told them that the gun was unloaded, but he never showed them that it was cleared. And every good gun owner knows you never, ever, ever, ever point a gun, a weapon at somebody that you don't intend to shoot. And with all the shootings in America lately in churches, what in the world was he thinking? Now, here at Fox River, we've got more guns than Midwest firearms, but we don't pull them out and point them at each other. What are we doing? See the sign? Best sausage supper in St. Louis? Come and eat Pastor Thomas Wrestler? Somebody's not watching out. We watching out here at Fox River? We've got to watch out here at Fox River so we don't rip each other apart. There's people listening to the sermon right now. You bite people's heads off. What are you doing biting a person's head off here in this church? Don't you realize you got to face them here next Sunday? What are you doing? And instead of doing Matthew 18 and trying to reconcile, you pick sides, start the Facebook fight, and all hell breaks loose. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1, a foolish person tears down his own house and his own church with his own hands. Making ultimatums like this is the fifth grade. Well, if we sing that song, I quit. Well, if he's going to preach that about the end times, me and my friends, we're out of here. I know a church in Iowa, I kid you not, that almost split over one stupid piece of cherry pie at a church picnic. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, the spirit of rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. What are we doing? Well, Kevin, I got some problems with the praise band here at Fox River. You think we got 5 more in the basement? You think this is Hillsong Church where we have professional musicians on staff who get paid to do nothing but sit around and write music and practice and rehearse? They're volunteers. And the biggest thing they need from you when they're up here on a Sunday morning, they don't need to know that you're singing. They need to know that you care about them and that you love them. What are we doing? Well, Pastor Kevin needs a haircut. What? Pastor Kevin's too fat. Wow. Now it's Pastor Kevin's too skinny. Wow. I wish Kevin's sermons were longer. I wish Kevin's sermons were shorter. Wow. Wow. I found out a long time ago as a pastor, you can't make everybody happy. So now I try to make everybody mad so I can make God happy. You got to watch out. We got to be watching out, especially in these last days, because of false teaching. Because people, there are wolves among the sheep. All kinds of anti-Semitism and Jew hate all over the body of Christ today. Influencers like Nick Fuentes and Andrew Tate, who claim to be Christians, with millions and millions of followers who claim to be Christians, throwing up all kinds of Nazi salutes to Kanye West's song, Heil Hitler. Listen, you don't need an influencer to tell you what's true. You've got the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to tell you what's true.
Amen.
And that influencer is not accountable to you, and you don't know if that influencer is accountable to anybody themselves. Country singer John Rich and Tucker Carlson trashing the pre-tribulation rapture and Israel's role in the end times. You got side A Christians who say that gay is okay and gay marriage is okay, and then side B Christians that said gay is okay but gay marriage is not okay. You say, well, Kevin, here's what I think. Did you hear that? Did you catch that? That's the sound of God not caring what you think. Because when it comes to LGBTQ, there's only one side, and that's God's. Kurt Cameron denying that there's an eternal hell. Kurt Cameron now trashing the pre-tribulation rapture, even though he did all those Left Behind movies, because now he's gone all new apostolic reformation, seven mountains dominion theology that says in the last days us Christians are going to build the kingdom of God on earth, and then and only then is Jesus going to come back. No, because 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 13 says in the last days things are going to go from bad to worse. It doesn't mean you can't love America, doesn't mean you can't try to make America great again, but people, there ain't going to be no kingdom till King Jesus comes back, and then he's going to build it himself. I could go on and on and on. Got to watch out. Got to watch out, because you have no idea. You have no idea when the attack is going to come. Last Sunday, January the 18th in Minneapolis, Minnesota, City Baptist Church was invaded by a mob of thug anti-ICE protesters who tried to take over the church. Because evidently one of the pastors on staff in that church worked at an ICE field office in St. Paul. And all the chaos was all led by former CNN anchor Don Lemon. Former, because even CNN can't stand him anymore. Protesters busted in the church and did that.
We have a duty to fight for our freedom. We have a duty to fight. We have a duty to fight.
This is the house of God.
This house of the devil.
Shout Renee Good, because that was the name of the woman who was shot by the ICE agent last January the 7th when she tried to hit him with her vehicle. And folks, you talk about outrageous. You talk about violating a sacred space. Because those Christians were terrified, especially the Christians that had little kids. Because just 4 months ago, another nut busted into a Christian church in Minneapolis and shot 14 people and killed two little kids. You say, well, Kevin, why didn't the Christians try to talk to the protesters? Because the protesters didn't want to talk. They just wanted to raise hell inside of a church. One of those protesters that had F. Trump on his hat said this to the Christians in the church.
Renee, good. Where are you? Where are you? Where are your people? Why are you not at Wimble every day fighting for the humanity?
You drink your coffee, you got your jewelry, you have your nice clothes, but what do you do? What do you do to stand for your Somali and Latino communities?
Yeah, I'm just so sure Jesus would have done exactly the same thing that those protesters did. Because the last time somebody did that and did something unrighteous in his father's house, Jesus didn't try to have a conversation. Jesus flipped over tables and took a whip and drove them out. So if you think Jesus would have sided with those protesters, you are sadly mistaken, and you have no idea, no idea the love that Jesus Christ still has for his church. Now, the pastor of that church jumped all over the protesters for violating the house of God. But this is what Don Lemon said to him.
I mean, this is unacceptable. It's shameful. It's shameful to interrupt a public gathering of Christians in worship. So,
But there are folks who will say,
I have to take care of my flock.
Okay,
my
but listen, we live in a, there's a constitution in the First Amendment to freedom of speech and freedom to assemble and protest.
Freedom of speech? Yeah, the protesters had every right to protest and freedom of speech, but they didn't have the right to exercise it on somebody else's private property. Because all churches are private property, and private property comes with the right to exclude anybody and anything that owners consider a threat. Which means us Christians are under no obligation whatsoever to let barbarians trash our churches, because the churches aren't theirs, they're ours. Where in the world did Don Lemon go to law school? Costco? And what if a bunch of MAGA people had done that to a Muslim mosque? You think Don Lemon would have said MAGA was just exercising their First Amendment constitutional right? You know the answer to that. And folks, if a bunch of leftist goons tried to do that here at Fox River Church, good luck. Because if somebody stands up and starts screaming in protest here at Fox River, our praise band has been told they're going to rush to the stage as fast as they can. They're going to start praying in Days of Elijah. You're going to stand up and sing as loud as you possibly can. And our security team, which is more than capable, is going to neutralize the threat. Because this church belongs to the Lord. And there will be respect in the house of the Lord. Now, Pam Bondi said that there's going to be charges brought against all those protesters at that church in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And so far, three of them have been arrested. And they're looking at prison time because they've been charged with the FACE Act, because federal law still does protect churches and houses of worship. And remember that one protester that said, Pam Bondi, come and get me? Well, she did. And folks, we got to realize this is just all a part of an ongoing nationwide demonic insurrection that's going on in this country right now against God and the Bible and Christianity and right and wrong and the rule of law. And all those protesters are just useful idiots for the Marxist revolution that's trying to destroy this country. And Christians, if we don't stand up to them now, even in our churches, they are going to destroy this country because they don't have a clue. They have no idea what they're even protesting for. Here's what one ICE agent said to protesters when he rolled up on them last week in Minneapolis.
We're here to arrest a child sex offender. And you guys are out here honking.
Oh, we're pressing.
That vehicle right there is honking and impeding our investigations while we're trying to arrest a child sex offender. That's who you guys are protecting.
No clue. Our churches are under attack, people. So keep your head on a swivel and watch out. Because this house is the Lord's, worship is our right, and God will not be mocked. The first answer to that question, what are we doing here at Fox River Church? We are watching out. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second answer to that question, what are we doing here at Fox River? We're not only watching out, we're also reaching out. And that's also what we see here in verse 5. Do the work of an evangelist. Because the church isn't a retirement home for the frozen chosen. Jesus said, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall be my witnesses. So just posting some Bible verses on your Instagram for likes and shares, that ain't going to cut it. Do the work of an evangelist. But the sad thing is, too many churches don't. Only 3% of church growth today is from conversions. 97% of church growth in America today is by transfer. So the church isn't winning souls. They're just swapping members. Do the work of an evangelist. You say, well, Kevin, I don't have the gift of evangelism. Evangelism is not a gift that only some Christians have. Evangelism is a responsibility that all Christians have. Do the work of an evangelist and reach out to unbelievers. A lot of seeker-sensitive pastors try to do that by bringing the unbelievers into the church and then changing the church so that the unbelievers are comfortable in the church. But folks, church isn't about making unbelievers comfortable. Church is about making God comfortable. Worship isn't about the seeker. It's about the Savior. Because Jesus said, John chapter 4, verse 23, the only seeker who ever does come to your church on Sunday morning is the Lord Himself, seeking and looking for people who are willing to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Years ago, Bill Hybels pushed the seeker-sensitive movement by going to unbelievers in Barrington, Illinois, and asking them, what would you want to do if you would go to a church? But people, there is not one verse anywhere in your Bible where God asks you how you want to worship Him. But there's all kinds of verses in your Bible where God specifically tells you how He wants you to worship Him. Well, I didn't like the worship today. Well, so what? We weren't worshiping you. We're worshiping the Lord. And seeker-sensitive pastors have changed all kinds of churches. Seeker-sensitive churches don't have scripture readings anymore. All because unbelievers don't have the attention span for it. Seeker-sensitive churches don't preach Bible prophecy because the unbelievers might get weirded out. I know seeker-sensitive churches that don't even do communion anymore. Well, it'd make all the seekers and the unbelievers feel awkward. Aren't believers supposed to take communion in a church? I know a seeker-sensitive church 15 miles from Fox River that leadership would not even let pro-lifers put up a sign that said, pray against abortion. Because they were afraid the word abortion might offend somebody. Folks, 70 million dead babies since 1973. Babies gassed and fried and burned and torn apart by forceps. With their brains sucked out with vacuum tubes. My God, I think somebody ought to be offended. Now, I want unbelievers to feel welcome here at Fox River. We do all kinds of things to make unbelievers feel welcome here. A couple years ago, I got this letter. Dear Pastor Garner, my wife and I are not believers. We are not Christians. But we do appreciate the fine arts. So we attended your Good Friday drama that we saw advertised at Fox River Resort. We want to thank you for a marvelous portrayal of the Bible story of the death of Christ story. But even more, we want to thank you for the friendliness of your congregation, people who smiled at us and were more than willing to give us directions and answer questions. We want to especially thank a man named Bill, who was part of the drama and even dressed as a character. He was especially helpful in helping us find seats. Thank you, Fox River Church, for giving us a splendid welcome. That's wonderful. I want unbelievers to feel welcome in this church, but I don't want unbelievers to feel comfortable in this church. I don't want unbelievers to feel comfortable here. I want them sweating bullets because they're separated from Christ and going to hell. But see, too many seeker-sensitive pastors never talk about hell. Too many don't talk about LGBTQ either. And I have discussions with them. And they brag about how many LGBTQ people they have in their congregation. You know why? Because they never talk about the issue. So my question is, when are LGBTQ people ever going to figure out that it's wrong? On Judgment Day, when it's too late? Well, Kevin, we trust that the Holy Spirit is going to work, you know, over prior to time and convict them of the sin. I got people in counseling sessions in my office back there in the corner every single week who resist the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Too much seeker-sensitive is all about numbers. How many giving units, or I mean people, are coming through the door? Do you realize when you stand before God on Judgment Day, He is not going to ask you what church you went to or what the average attendance was? You know what He is going to judge you for? When we stand before Jesus at the Bema seat after we're raptured, what we're going to be judged for? Matthew chapter 25, Jesus said, when I was hungry, did you give me something to eat? When I was thirsty, did you give me something to drink? When I was sick, did you help me? When I was in prison, did you come to visit me? We're going to be judged on whether or not we reached out, including how we reached out to unbelievers. The number one purpose of a Christian worship service is for Christians to worship God. The number one purpose of a Christian worship service is not to draw unbelievers. That's what evangelism and outreach is for. Because Jesus didn't say, Matthew chapter 28, just go to church and hire a cool pastor and get a praise band with a smog machine. Jesus said, go into all the world. Because I don't care how many unbelievers you bring into this church, the vast majority of lost people are still going to be out there. The devil is still going to have the biggest church out there. We've got to go out there. And that's why Fox River has done so much outreach and evangelism, especially in the last 5 years. And if there's another church in this entire area that's done more outreach than Fox River, you're going to have to tell me what it is. For years, we've had a booth at the Sandwich Fair interacting with thousands and thousands of people and trying to share the gospel with them. We've done tent meetings. We've done freedom rallies. We did a prayer corner right over at the intersection of 52 and 71, holding up big signs for cars, do you need prayer, seeing if anybody would pull over and we could share Christ with them. We did outreach at the Norway car show. For years and years, we've done an outreach on downtown Sheridan on Halloween. There's Mark Sebi, Steve Bailey, Mark Master Giovanni, who's with Jesus now, freezing for a reason. Me and Steve Crawford, the last 2 years, have done it, passing out candy and Bibles to little kids and Gospel Network comic books that have Bible stories in them. And I don't know if anybody ever got saved because of it, but I know this, a lot better chance of getting saved than if we hadn't done it at all. Outreach. Last 15 years, this congregation has given $1 million to foreign missions to try to get people saved all over the world. The live streams of our sermons have touched people all the way from England to Pakistan to Japan and all points in between, plus all over the United States. I got this letter last spring. Dear Pastor Garner, you never met me, but last April I was ready to commit suicide from depression and codeine when a volunteer from a Baptist thrift store here told me about this big church in Illinois and told me to watch their sermons online. And I did. And I want you to know, after your sermon last Easter about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, I prayed like you said and asked Jesus to come into my heart, and he did. And now I'm saved, I'm off all the pills, I have a job, and I'm even in the process of getting my daughter back. Thank you, Pastor Garner, and thank you, Fox River, for your live stream, because you saved my life and my soul. You know where this woman is writing from? Pascagoula, Mississippi. They know about Fox River Church in Pascagoula, Mississippi. See what happens when the Holy Spirit is your PR director? Praise God for that. And I know somebody's hearing this. You say, yeah, Kevin, you reached all the conservative people. You reached all the MAGA people. You reached all the Trump supporters. How are you going to reach all the leftists? How are you going to reach all the people on the other side? How do you reach all the LGBTQ people in Generation Y and Generation Z? We reach them by reaching out to them with the love of Christ and trying to form relationships with them like we do with everybody. Plus, we give them John chapter 8, verse 32. What is it that sets people free? The only thing that sets people free, the truth. You give people the truth. You give people the Word of God. Preach the Word from the heart. No apologies, no compromise. And you trust the Holy Spirit to give you results. That's what we do at Fox River Church. We reach out. And I know this church reaches out because there's all kinds of people in this church that reach out. Denise Van Kirk lives for people in nursing homes. Reaches out to all kinds of people that, sadly enough, most of us tend to forget. Dan Baja passes out gospel tracts and shares the gospel everywhere he goes. Len Schoberlin is known as the sign guy because he goes to different towns and cities and carries a big sign with a question written on it, like, is LGBTQ a sin? Just so people will talk to him so he can plant seeds. Joe Galvin evangelizes through his podcast called The Mustard Seed. And he reaches out to all kinds of people who don't go to church. Frankly, a lot of people who probably never will go to church. There he is with a woman who works at a tattoo parlor. Anybody else at Fox River reaching out to workers at tattoo parlors with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Show of hands. I'll wait for my answer. There's Frank. Reaches out to all kinds of people who just need some help, who just need somebody to stand by them and help them. He does that. He reaches out. We're reaching out at Fox River because I know what the knock is in on this church. I know what the word on the street is about Fox River. Well, Kevin Garner and Fox River, they're just politics. Kevin Garner and Fox River, they're just all about politics. You know why people say that? Because they have no idea. They have no idea how we use politics here at Fox River and how we use so-called political things to bring people to Christ, especially in the last several years. January 2021, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker had turned Illinois into the Gulag Archipelago with COVID. Everything was locked down. Businesses were closed. Schools were closed. Churches were still closed. Fox River wasn't. People walking around masked up like the Lone Ranger. Joe Biden and J.B. Pritzker saying no jab, no job. So Michelle Peterson organized a freedom rally with Dr. Peter McCullough, the number one world expert on the human heart. And he told us about the damage that the clot shot could do to people's hearts. And also an attorney named Tom DeVore, downstate Illinois attorney, who was successful fighting all kinds of COVID mandates, who told us that J.B. Pritzker did not have the constitutional authority to close down anything during the pandemic. And it was an incredible seminar. All kinds of wonderful information. And of course, we went through seven kinds of hell holding it here. Oh, you people of Fox River, you're just political. You're evil. You're nasty. You want to kill grandma. You want to infect everybody. You know the biggest reason we did that rally? The biggest reason we did that freedom rally is because I got to speak at it. I got to speak that morning and share the gospel. And because of that, even more people started coming to this church. And because of that, even more people started watching our live stream. And because of that, even more people prayed to receive Christ and get saved. But see, Fox River is just all about politics, right? And what Christians don't realize who say we shouldn't have anything to do with politics, what they don't realize, you're talking about freedom, can lead people to the author of freedom, Jesus Christ. All the pastors in America who never speak about political things or so-called political issues, they don't realize that what they've done is cut themselves off from millions and millions of people in this country who love America and would die for freedom, but they're not saved. We didn't do that here at Fox River. So we kept talking about rights and freedoms and liberties. We kept doing the freedom rallies. We kept doing the live stream, and we saw more and more people get saved and come to Christ. So September 2022, Michelle Peterson organized another freedom rally with General Michael Flynn in a big old tent right out here behind the church. He was former national security advisor to President Trump during his first term because General Flynn was going around the country trying to get people saved and to get people involved in saving America. And of course, all hell broke loose because some people here at Fox River swore up and down, Michael Flynn's demonic, Michael Flynn's satanic, Michael Flynn is a Mason, Michael Flynn is New World Order. You're turning this church into a political circus. What's this going to do to bring people to Christ? On and on and on. Jimmy Swigert said years ago, the biggest opposition you will ever get in ministry will come from your own people in your own church. And man, is that ever true? One guy from this church even left a message on our church answering machine that said this, Michael Flynn is an effing blank, and Kevin, if you're having him at Fox River, then you're an effing blank too. Because they'll know we are Christians by our love, right? And a reporter from over around La Salle, Peru, who heckled us and slammed us for years, calling us the MAGA church and for being Christian nationalists, trashed us even more because of that rally. And even said we should have our tax-exempt status revoked for engaging in political endorsement. Do you know the biggest reason why we did that rally with General Flynn? The number one reason? Because I got to preach at that rally and share the gospel. And after my sermon was over that morning, I gave an invitation. And what do you know? Seven people raised their hands to pray to receive Christ. One of them was General Flynn's own bodyguard. John Steffelbeam even got to pray with him. And remember the reporter who constantly trashed Fox River about being a mega church? He raised his hand to get saved too. I got to talk to him. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, people. Does God have a sense of humor or what? And because we did that rally, even more people came to Fox River. And because of that, even more people watched our live stream. Because of that, more people got saved and prayed to receive Christ. And because of that rally, I also got an opportunity to speak at a Reawakened tour down in Branson, Missouri, November the 5th, 2022. The biggest audience that God had ever set in front of me. And right when I went on there at the Mansion Theater that day in 2022, Clay Clark, the host, pointed a computer screen. He said, Kevin, right now there's 880,000 people watching you. That's great. Here's a part of what I said. And now that gospel door that God has opened to the entire world for America is now closing because too many Christians are preaching heresy like love is love and save the baby seals and can't we just all get along? The United States of America is specially created and raised up by God Himself to spread the gospel and shine the light of freedom all over the planet is now this close to being betrayed and sold out and totally destroyed by our very own leaders. And Americans, what do we need to do? We need to remember who we are and why we're here. Remember the heights from which you have fallen and strengthen that which remains and is about to die. For your deeds have not been found complete in the sight of our God. Listen, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. America will never be great again until America is right with God again. And after that was over, I got a chance to talk to the Lord with a lot of people who came up and talked to me. But then 5 months after that, I got this letter. Dear Pastor Garner, I've been a Christian since I was 5 years old, but my husband was not saved and our 26-year-old son wasn't saved either. And they were both big drinkers and they would never go to church with me. But I want you to know they listened to your sermon at the Reawaken Tour in Branson last November. And because you talked about Trump and freedom and the country, they started watching your sermons online from your church in Illinois. And I want to let you know that because of that, both of them prayed to receive Christ and got saved last March. Praise the Lord. They still won't go to church, but they never miss your live stream on Sunday mornings. Thank you so much, Fox River, because all the prayers for all my family have now been answered. Praise the Lord! But see, Fox River is just all about politics, right? Folks, all the skeptics, all the haters of Fox River Church have no idea. They have no idea the number of people that this church has gotten saved and brought into the kingdom of God. Don't know, don't care. But listen to me, God does. What is it that Fox River is doing? What are we doing here at Fox River? We don't pull back. We don't lock down. We don't give in. We reach out and we see people saved. The second answer to that question, what are we doing here at Fox River Church? We are reaching out. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third answer to that question. What are we doing here at Fox River Church? We're not only watching out, we're not only reaching out, but third, we're finishing out. That's exactly what we see here at the end of verse 5. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Because we need to remember, the Apostle Paul is writing this letter in prison. And he knows he's just about to die. The very next verse, verse 6, the time of my departure has come. He knows he's never going to see Timothy again. These are the last words that he is ever going to write to him. And he is begging Timothy to stay faithful. Don't quit. Don't cave. Fight the good fight. Finish out. And Christians, the Holy Spirit is telling us today exactly the same thing in these last days. Don't quit. Don't cave. Don't go all prepper and hunker in a bunker and just stockpile brown rice and toilet paper and sit back and wait for the rapture. Finish out. Keep working. Keep witnessing. Keep fighting the devil because you're not doing something wrong. You're doing something right. Keep storming the gates of hell till Jesus comes and takes you home. Finish out. And how do we do that? Verse 5, you endure the hardship. Everybody hear that? Everybody catch that? Because the Holy Spirit is telling you that ministry is hard and serving Jesus Christ is hard. It was hard for the Apostle Paul. Many times cold and hungry, beaten, horsewhipped, stoned within an inch of his life, shipwrecked, snake bit, left for dead, and that was on a good day. It's hard. Ministry is hard for us Christians today because right now it's like us against the world. Just this past Wednesday at Davos, Antichrist enabler Yuval Harari of the World Economic Forum said that.
Religion is built from words, then AI will take over religion. This is particularly true of religions based on books like Islam, Christianity, or Judaism. What happens to a religion of the book when the greatest expert on the holy book is an AI?
So he says AI is going to take control and change the words of the Bible. Well, bring it on, because 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25 says, a trillion years after Yuval Harari has been sent to hell, the word of our God is still going to stand forever. Right before Christmas, 78-year-old Christian conservative named Janine Beeman was working her job at a Target store wearing her red Charlie Kirk Freedom t-shirt when a woke leftist named Michaela Ponce walked up to her and started ragging her for it. This is what it sounded like.
Stupid?
No.
Why the f*** do you wear that? You're at work at Target. That's not a Target shirt. It's not a plain red shirt. You support a racist. No, the opinion is he's a racist and you support him.
That's your opinion, ma'am.
And you shouldn't. You should not be allowed to wear that. This is going to be taken above your head. That's insane.
Now, Janine Beeman handled that with a lot of grace. But people, you talk about mean. You talk about heartless. And after that video went viral, MAGA World raised over $100,000 for Janine Beeman, just for her aggravation. You see what we're doing? Ministry is hard. You got all the idiot pastors on the other side of the aisle. There's a bunch of woke pastors in New York City endorsing Mamdani the commie for mayor. Last week, over 100 woke pastors in Minneapolis met at Target headquarters to protest ICE and to protest the deportation of illegal criminals. You talk about the blind leading the blind. Ministry's hard when you got that kind of opposition from people who are supposed to know better. Ministry's hard because it takes a toll on you. Last August the 27th, 70-year-old Christian Pat Scanlon started hearing shots coming from the Annunciation Catholic Church and school a block away from his house. So he took off running and saw little kids pouring out of a side door. One of them, 10-year-old Harper Moiske, covered with blood because she'd been shot in the head. Pat Scanlon ran over there, got down on his knees, and she was crying. She said, "I know that I'm not going to live. And I know that my parents are not going to get here before I die." And she asked him, "Would you please hold on to me? Because I don't want to die all by myself." That 10-year-old girl died in that man's arms. Try living with that for the rest of your life. Ministry is hard. That's why God has to call people to do it. And ministry means people, and people mean crap. In 44 years, I've shoveled a lot of it in ministry. You know the study that shows that 1 out of 4 Christians want to change churches? You know that same study also says 1 out of 3 pastors want to change churches? 1,500 pastors quit and resign from their jobs every single month in this country. The average pastor now only lasts about 3.5 months in a 3.5 years in a church. The average youth worker only lasts about 10 months in a church because ministry is so hard. Not even a year. I've lasted at this church for 32 years. And you know why? Because you don't quit when it gets hard. You don't quit when it gets tough. You don't quit when you get tired. You quit when you're done. You finish out. Ministry's been hard for me and Sue. It's been hard for this church. Sue and I started at Fox River in 1994 for $24,600 a year. That was less money than what my wife was making as a secretary at a hospital in Watsika. And we paid all our own utilities, we paid all our own gas, all of our own electric, all of our own mileage, and still do. It was hard. And it wasn't because the church was squeezing us, it's because in 1994, Fox River Church only had about $12,000 in their entire bank account. It was hard. And a sacrifice for this church. I sacrificed my eyesight for this church. And my physical health. And probably some of the best years of my marriage. Sacrificed life change and money. This church cost me the best friend I ever had in my entire life. My wife and I stopped trying to have children because of this church. And nobody ever knew. Her dad died in 1995. Her mom died in 2008. My dad died in 1998 on Thanksgiving Day. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of trips back and forth to Watsika and Carl Clinic in Champaign, and still putting in 90 hours a week doing ministry here at Fox River Church, because you can sleep when you're dead, right? 2005, a man named Stephen Aubrey from Aurora murdered his wife and buried her body about a mile south where Sue and I live. He eventually came to the parsonage, pulled out a gun, threatened to kill us, and stole my car. And that night, he committed suicide by cop. I still preached the next Sunday at Fox River with PTSD because there's nobody else to do it. 2017, an assistant pastor and two elders in this church, plus the youth worker, got in cahoots and orchestrated a coup attempt against me to try to force me to resign, even though I had no reason whatsoever to resign, nothing to resign for. The very next year, that same youth worker, who'd got to have caused about 50 people to leave this church, tried to get all the young couples to leave this church. He tried to destroy Fox River. So you talk about being lied to and lied about and stabbed in the back. You think you've been hurt by Christians in a church? Welcome to my world. And I'm not telling you this morning to try to get you to feel sorry for him. I'm telling you this morning to let you know, I know what hard is. And beside the Lord, you know what it is that got me through? Jesus. My band of brothers and sisters in this church who went to war with me and got down in the trenches and went to the meetings and did the confrontations and fought all the battles and won all of those battles. Otherwise, Fox River Church wouldn't be here today. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, and got the scars to prove it. You finish out. I don't care how hard it is. I don't care what you have to do. You keep going. You keep grinding. You put on your big boy and your big girl pants. You do it because Jesus called you to do it, and because you're doing it for Jesus and no other reason. You finish out. And Christians, listen, we better be finishing out. Because you have any idea? Do you have any idea how short the time really is? Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 and 17 says, in the last days, after the rapture, during the great tribulation, the Antichrist will set up a one world government and a one world economy where everybody's buying and selling is controlled by the mark of the beast that he will force everyone to get in either their right hand or their forehead. And we know that mark of the beast is a human implantable microchip that will store all your personal information and all your financial information and can be accessed by the internet and can exchange digital currency that the entire world is converting to right now. So if you don't toe the party line with LGBTQ, if you own a gun, if you vote conservative, if you cross the big brother in any way, shape, or form, the push of a button, Antichrist takes all your money away and you're up a creek. And we've seen this whole system coming for years. 2020, Bill Gates of hell invented the quantum dot vaccine system that injects nanoparticle microchips under your skin. Microchips that hold all your personal information and all your financial information and can be accessed by the internet and can exchange digital currency. And what was Bill Gates' patent number for the quantum dot? 20206066666. And remember, that vaccine system was invented before COVID even started, proving the vaccine wasn't created for the virus. The virus was created for the vaccine. People, I believe with all my heart that is the mark of the beast. And every single day, we just get closer and closer and closer to it. And everybody and his brother keeps calling for it. Last year, Bond villain Klaus Schwab resigned as head of the World Economic Forum. And now the active chairman is a man named Larry Fink, who's also the chairman of BlackRock, one of the most evil corporations in the entire world that is all about one world government and the mark of the beast. There's the comments that Larry Fink made about 4 months ago.
I would say the biggest question from central banks is, what is the role of tokenization and digitization? How quickly should they think about digitizing their own currency? What does that mean for the role of the dollar? We're not spending enough time talking about how quickly we're going to tokenize every financial asset and the opportunity we're going to have a digital wallet and moving, you know, ETFs and other things through a digital wallet.
Does everybody understand what he means when he's talking about tokenization and digitization? He's talking about digital ID. He's talking about the mark of the beast. And notice he's not condemning it. He's calling for it because he knows it's coming any moment. The digital ID, the mark of the beast, that's going to control everybody's buying and selling. Just exactly like Revelation 13, 16, and 17 says. And because Larry Fink is one of the most powerful CEOs, one of the most powerful corporations in the history of the world, what Larry Fink's want, Larry Fink's going to get. Just exactly like the Bible says. Now, China's had a digital ID for years, and along with social credit score, they are able to control everything that everybody does in that entire country. For years, India's had a digital ID, thanks to Bill Gates from hell. Next month, the European Union is supposed to go all digital ID. And people won't be able to get a job. They won't be able to function at all without it. Last December, President Donald Trump signed an executive order creating digital IDs for here in America, for non-citizens entering into this country. But how long before that gets applied to all of its regular legal citizens too? And how do we know? How do we know it's coming? What is the biggest thing right now? The biggest thing right now that's holding back the mark of the beast? The biggest thing right now that's keeping it from going online and being operational all over the world, besides the fact that the Antichrist has to be revealed and the church has to be raptured out of here first? The number one reason why the mark of the beast is not up and running and fully operational now is because we still don't have the technology to instantaneously handle all the activity from 8 billion microchips and 8 billion people all over the world at the same time. All the buying and the selling and the transfers and the payments and the transactions and the deposits and the withdrawals and the turning the money off and the turning the money on and the compliance like the Antichrist wants it. 1G, 2G, 3G, 4G, even 5G technology cannot handle that. The reason Bill Gates' quantum dot vaccine system isn't already in operation is because we do not have yet the technology to run it. But you know what is able to run it? What kind of technology would be able to instantaneously handle all the activity of 8 billion microchips and 8 billion people all at the same time all over the world, all the transactions and buying and selling and payments and transfers and all the compliance? 6G technology. So what do you know? Last December the 19th, 2025, President Donald Trump signed a presidential memorandum called Winning the 6G Race. Here's part of what it said, and notice what 6G is intended for. This technology will play a pivotal role in the development and adoption of emerging technologies like artificial intelligence, robotics, and there it is, implantable technologies. Human implantable devices, human implantable microchips. The digital ID, that's the mark of the beast, people. President Trump's Genesis Project is already building a platform for the mark of the beast. His Stargate program is already building the digital IDs. And he's called on America to be the king of cryptocurrency. So that mark of the beast system isn't just coming, people, it's already here. And now, so is the technology to make it go. Now, I don't believe with anything in me that Donald Trump wants to use it for that. I think Donald Trump is doing this with 6G because he wants America to control it. So nobody else can use it to control people's lives. But the Bible says the Antichrist will use it that way. Just as soon as he steps on stage. People, President Donald Trump right now is building for the first time in history a system that is big enough, broad enough, and powerful enough to run the mark of the beast system right in front of our very eyes. And I know somebody's hearing to say, okay, Kevin, are you going to apologize now for voting for him? Are you going to admit now that it was a mistake to support Donald Trump? Absolutely not, because the man serves the purposes of God. And he's done incredible things this past year in office. God put Donald Trump in office for a second time to bring about the last days. And brother, is he ever doing that? And all that to say this. Time is short, Christians. Time is very, very short. So if you are ever going to do anything for the Lord, if you're ever going to get anything done for Jesus Christ and his kingdom, anything that's going to matter, anything that's going to last for eternity, you better hurry. What are we doing here at Fox River? And remember, again, Fox River is not a building. Fox River is a congregation of people. It is a body of believers all connected to each other. So what we are doing all depends on what you are doing. What are you doing right now for Jesus Christ and for ministry? Because Christians, listen to me, any second now, that trumpet's going to sound. We're going to be raptured out of here and we are going to be standing before the bema seat of Jesus handing out the rewards. And what are you going to have to show? He's going to ask you, what did you do with all the time I gave you? What are you going to be able to tell him? What are you going to be able to show him? After all the wood and the hay and the stubble and the Netflix and the Fortnite and the scrolling on our phone is all burned out of our lives. What are we going to have left to show him? What are we doing for Jesus Christ and for ministry right now? So we will not be ashamed when we stand in his presence that day. Everybody, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? In these last days, 5 seconds to midnight, when everything is on the line, millions of people going to hell in a handbasket, what is Jesus telling you to do right now for ministry? What is he telling you to do right now? Some of you, he's reminding you, just keep doing what you have been doing. Some of you, he's telling you to do something brand new. Some of you, he's telling you all the stuff you shouldn't be doing so you can do the most important thing. What is Jesus telling you to do right now for ministry? What are you going to do? And when you know what that is, you're going to do it. We will do ministry because we are not ashamed of it. We are not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not ashamed of the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. And we will stand up and we will share the gospel with people because we're not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. What are we doing for Jesus Christ? We will do it because we are not ashamed.